Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, we are starting a new series out of the book of Matthew. As many of you know, we started preaching out of the book of Matthew almost 2 years ago, and we are in chapter 10. Okay, there is so much to be learned from this book, the first book of the New Testament, and we are in a section in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus is still talking to his disciples. He's getting ready. He's going to be sending them out without him. Jesus was still on earth, but he's sending his disciples out to do some work. He's like sending them on a solo mission project, okay? And he's giving them instruction. Listen, a good teacher never sends their students out without instruction. They always give them instructions like, this is what it's going to look like. This is how I want you to prepare. If this happens, this is how I want you to respond, right? And so that's what Jesus is doing. This series is called Counterculture. Because the things that Jesus was telling his followers, and guess what? If you're in this room and you have made a decision for Jesus to be Lord of your life, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins and help you to walk in a way where you are in relationship with him and walking away from sin, you are his follower. So this pertains to you. If you're like, well, I haven't done that. I guess I'm not Jesus's follower. Hang on. You'll have a chance to become that at the end of this message today, okay? So, Jesus is talking to his followers, and he's telling them things that when we look at this, we go, that goes completely against the culture that we live in today. That is countercultural. So, to counteract something, I looked up the definition. I didn't put it in the slides. Sometimes I think you might get bored of my definitions. I'm kind of a nerd this way, okay? To counteract something is to do something that neutralizes or reduces that thing's influence. That's what it means to counteract something. To do something that reduces or neutralizes their influence. Like, for example, activated charcoal will counteract the effects of something dangerous that's been swallowed, okay? A company might use a budget cut to counteract the effect of rising costs or expenses. Make sense? Okay? How many of you would agree with this statement? We live in a very influential world, right? There's something that makes our culture more influential than it's ever been in history. Say it out if you know what it is. Say it louder. It's social media, right? Social media has made culture's voice almost deafening loud. Social media makes culture almost, it could be the biggest influence in our lives if we allow it. Okay? Notice I say, if we allow it, okay? Now, some of these opinions and behaviors that are put forth in social media can be positive, okay? I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot of people who follow Jesus that use the platform of social media to talk about his truth, and it can be positive, but there are also a lot of other things out there that people are saying that can be very dangerous. Opinions and behaviors, okay? Some of them are even debilitating. I have watched the dangerous effects of TikTok that has introduced us to such an unhealthy amount of compromise and comparison. Listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to any young mom in this room. Talk to any young mom who, when you, As a mom, when you give birth to a child, it's already a stressful time in your life. And then you start looking at all of these videos on TikTok with all of these other so-called experts in the field that are telling you what you shouldn't do, what you should do. Your baby's going to feel this way if you do this. And your mind, already you're probably suffering from anxiety because that's what moms face when they first give birth. And then they have all of these voices of social media like, your baby's going to hate you, your baby's going to feel abandoned, blah, blah, blah. And they're having mental breakdowns. I've watched it happen. There's anxiety, there's worry, there's fear. It's magnified. There's been an explosion of LGBTQ influence in our society where you might have heard something once in a while, but now it's like one out of every two person is experimenting with their sexuality because that's now what's normal in our society. Culture's voice has become magnified. And the only way we counteract that is with God's voice and with God's presence. That's how we live in a counterculture society, by filling us up with more of God. So this series, Counterculture, is going to take us through the rest of Matthew chapter 10. And in this series, we're going to be looking at how Jesus tells us to counteract the influence of culture and look to him for our direction, our identity, and validation. I want to say that one more time, okay? Jesus asks us to look to him for direction, identity, and validation. Not Facebook Reels, not TikTok, not, what is that other one? Instagram, what are their Reels called? Reels, thank you. I don't even have an Instagram account, I wouldn't even know. Okay? So, like any good mentor or teacher, Jesus is continuing to give his followers direction as they prepare to go out into the mission that he gave them. Okay? So I'm going to read to you exactly what our message is focused on today, the verse that it's focused on. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read to you today out of the New Living Translation. I usually choose to read out of this translation just because it's the easiest one for me to understand. So if it's easy for me to understand, I'm assuming it's easy for you to understand because I understand easy things. You ready? Here we go. Whenever you enter a city or village, this is Jesus talking here. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back your blessing. Whoa. Hang on. I'm going to tell you exactly what Jesus was meaning. If a household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. Ooh. Well, the title of the first message in this series is this: Shake It Off. Okay? Shake It Off. Listen, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. Okay? She has a few songs that I find catchy, okay? I will tell you this, what I find super funny is that while her latest album seems to be kind of making a mockery of Christian beliefs and following Jesus, this particular song of her actually has some biblical principles within it. Ha ha! Joke's on you, Taylor! Ha ha! You spoke Bible! Okay? Because when we accept Jesus and accept his gift of salvation, we repent of our past, Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And Jesus in this passage was speaking to Jewish people. So he was using Jewish customs as an example. So this is why it made sense to them as he was saying these things. Jewish custom was this. Whenever you entered a house, you proclaimed a blessing over the house. A Jewish person, when entering the house, would actually kiss the door jamb like this. Okay? And they would proclaim a blessing over that home. If they had a positive experience in that home, when they walked out of the home, they would again bless the house as they left. Okay? And so they identified with what Jesus was saying. When you go to someone's house, well, I'm going to send you out. If you're invited into someone's house, bless their home. And if they accept what you have to say, let your blessing stand when you leave. If they don't accept when you say, walk straight out that door. Okay? That's what he was saying. Another thing was the Jewish people, when they would go into other cities that were non-Jewish believing cities and that did not believe in the living God, they would actually had a custom of kicking the dirt off of their feet as they got to the outskirts of that city so as not to take anything from that city back into their Jewish land. They wouldn't take any pagan dirt back into their land. And so when Jesus said to them, if they don't accept the message that you're saying, shake that dirt off of your feet when you leave. They're like, oh, I get what you're saying. Okay? But Jesus says the same thing to you and I. So how does this apply to us then? How does this apply? Do you want us to literally shake our feet off? Okay, you don't have to like, let me just kick this shoe dirt off my shoes when I leave. But there are some principles in here that we can make. I'm just going to say something really clear. And I'm going to be really honest and really open right here. But we have kids ministry for kids. And if your child is being can't be quiet in service and is disrupting people, please take them out to the littles or to the preschool so that other people around you aren't disrupted, okay? Then some people we encounter are going to be super attracted to what we carry. They're going to be super attracted to who we are and want to learn more about us. And some people are going to be super appalled and push us away. It's just, Jesus said that right here. That was his warning. This is what's going to happen, okay? And out of those two warnings, I just got three statements that I really felt Holy Spirit was putting on my heart on how we can take this and apply it to our lives as believers in Jesus, okay? The first thing is this. Share your story with those who want to listen. Don't hold it back. Share your story with those who want to listen. Again, Jesus said, whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand, and if not, take back the blessing. Jesus also said this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, remember, you're his disciples now. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You and I have this directive from Jesus to tell other people about him. And the way that that is done is going to be different in every situation, okay? He's not saying everywhere you go, you should grab someone and be like, hey, do you know about Jesus? Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? because that's not the way it works. Actually, if you want to turn people off to Jesus, be that person, right? But if people notice, man, there is something different about you. Like, you stay calm in these situations. You just have a way of saying things that hits me in a different way. Guys, we are Jesus's living object lessons to the world. And anytime the opportunity presents itself, we should share our story with everyone who wants to listen. Right? This week at work, I was talking to someone. It was a new person that had come on board in our clinic. And she's like, oh, I heard that you're actually like a pastor. And I said, yeah, I am. And she goes, yeah, I have a lot of different like faith backgrounds in my life. And you know, my husband was Catholic, and I have some. My parents were Lutheran, and then like you know, I had these aunts and uncles, aunts that were like Pentecostal. They were so weird. And Jesus kind of like just tapped me like, tell her more. And so I said, oh, I'm Pentecostal. And she's like, you don't have long hair and wear skirts. That's what she said to me. And I said, oh, that's not what being Pentecostal means. Being Pentecostal means that we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and we allow His Spirit to move through us. And just as Jesus had the authority to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons, so do we. And we just live a life that's walking in the Holy Spirit's power. And she goes, that makes so much more sense. And I just left it at that, right? That's all, I just left it at that. She didn't have any more questions, so I didn't have anything else to say about it, okay? But our lives and our personal stories point people to Him. And if we are attentive to every opportunity that He puts before us, we become His living object lesson to other people. So share your story and your experiences with those who want to listen, right? The second thing is this. Don't carry rejection with you. Don't carry it with you. Jesus said this in the passage from today. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. Listen, not every person is going to be appreciative of the message you carry and the presence you carry. When I was 40 years old, we were asked to come and pastor a church in St. Louis. And I did not feel real great about it. I felt a little apprehensive. And Jason said, listen, I really feel like God's saying we have to do this. Well, how do you argue with that? Right? So I'm like, okay. And when we arrived at this church, they let us know, like, Paula can't be on staff at all. She can't work on staff. She can't preach. She can't be on staff. And over that next 3 years, I experienced so much rejection. So many things were said against me that I went into probably one of the deepest depressive times that I've ever experienced. I would go to work every day to a job that I hated and have a smile on my face, and I would spend every ounce of energy. And when I came home, I can remember going upstairs to our bathroom and sitting on the floor for at least 2 hours, just like, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, another day. I don't know if I can get through another day. It was an awful experience for me. And as that experience came to an end, we decided we were going to be moving back to Medford, where I grew up. Spoiler alert, if you've never been to Growth Track yet, this is my hometown, okay? And we decided decided we were going to be moving back here, and we had some family members, my sister and brother-in-law, and Pastor Sheree came and helped us pack up our home as we were leaving. And I will never forget, we're standing in the kitchen, the entire moving truck is packed, and we are ready to pull out of town. And my brother-in-law, who is like the closest thing I've ever had to a dad in my life, said, "Let's pray. Let's just pray." And I was like, "I just want to get out of here." That was my heart. Like, let's just go. And so we all grabbed hands in this circle, and my brother-in-law starts praying. And as he's praying, he stops. And he said, "I just feel like I need to speak this verse out, that you need to shake the dust off your feet and not carry it with you."
Whoa!
Right? And something hit me as he said that. If you don't leave this all here, then the next place you go to minister to, it's going to reap the consequences of the pain you experienced here. Leave it here and let everybody else have a fresh start with you. Don't carry rejection with you. Don't carry it. Because the next person who comes in contact with you doesn't deserve to be the recipient of the pain you experienced in the past. Right? Don't carry it with you. And the final thing goes right with that. Let God take care of it. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such that town on Judgment Day." You can be sure that God sees everything. God sees it. You don't have to tell him. He wants you to talk to him and talk to him about how you're feeling, but you can be sure that he sees everything. He saw things that happened to me that Jason never saw. He saw every single thing that happened to me. He sees it all. And this is what Paul said in Romans. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, "I will pay them back. I will take revenge," says the Lord. Paul was actually quoting there Deuteronomy chapter 32, where God said that, I'm going to take care of it. And let me tell you, the way that God's going to take care of those people that caused me pain in St. Louis is way more effective than it could have ever coming from me. Even me sitting there telling them how you've treated me and what you've said, who cares? The way that God's going to take care of that is going to be way more effective than I ever could. I didn't have to do anything to punish them. Leave the punishment and the correction to God. Shake the dust off of that situation and move on. And let every person that comes in contact with you get a fresh start with the presence that lives within you.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.